Ron and Anian. Sometimes knowing too much hurts you because I knew too much through the camera. Don't look at both sides in the middle of the night. But I couldn't see the light. No, I couldn't see the light. Car doctor. Just don't overthink it. I was reminded of that once again this week. Never overthink the problem, but always look for something basic.
Welcome to the radio home of Ron and Anian, the car doctor. Since 1991, this is where car owners the world over turn to for their definitive opinion on automotive repair. If your mechanic's giving you a busy signal, pick up the phone and call in. The garage doors are open.
But I am here to take your calls at 855-560-9900.
And now, here's Ronnie.
Hey, it's time to start your engines. Ron and Annie and the Car Doctor here, 855-560-9900. The same phone number we've been using. Well, gee, coming up on 5 years now in this revelation of independence indication, 855-560-9900. You know, it's been so long, I don't remember my old phone number. 855-560-9900. We'll stay with that one. I'll try to remember that. We want to kick off today's show. We want to do a little quick dedication to the Thin Blue Line, to our officers in blue. As there were six officers shot last night. One was a fatality, and we want to encourage everyone to remember that they are there to help you. That they are there. They are the last line of defense. And you know, there are good things that happen. There are bad things that happen. But taking it out on the cops like that's no way to be. So we want to let you know that let's everybody take a breath. It's going to be a wild weekend with the eclipse on Monday. That we hope you're here because you know. Little peace and contentment, and let's all chill out a little bit, and let's talk about cars, because cars just seem to be non-confrontational, unless you're driving a Volkswagen. Anyway, Ron and I just had to throw that in. It made Tom, Tony, and Matt smile, so at least I got a chuckle out of them. I want to talk to you, because my mind is kind of, you know, beyond the issues with the cops and Charlottesville and everything else. We're all getting a little insane, and I can prove it, and I can show you from an auto repair shop perspective, just what the heck is going on. True story. Woman calls the shop yesterday. Is my Hyundai ready? And I look around and I'm thinking, gee, I don't have any Hyundais here today. And sometimes that happens. You know, is my Hyundai done? You know, I brought it in for the oil change. And I said, no, ma'am, there's no Hyundai here. What do you mean there's no Hyundai there? I handed the keys right to you. This is Ralph, isn't it? No, ma'am, this is Ron. Well, Ralph, Ron, she said, you know, isn't same thing. She says, what's the difference? I go, well, she says, no. She goes, what's the name of that? I said, RA Automotive. She says, no, I was in last night. I handed you the keys. And I'm looking around like, you know, I'm looking at Danny and we're looking at Carpenter Bob who's over in the corner tinkering. And I'm thinking like, wow. She's like, well, if you don't have my car, who does? I don't know, lady. You didn't drop it off here. Okay, I'll find it at another shop. Click, hangs up. And I said to myself, you know, are we all just insane? You know, it's I mean, we're beyond a full moon shop, so this is beyond a full moon radio show today. This has got to be, you know, more along the lines of a solar eclipse. The world's going to end. It's going to tilt off its axis and we're all going to go and it was like that fixing the cars. 2015 Ford Expedition came in, needed brakes, standard thing, pads and rotors all the way around. Customer wanted to pay the freight and I encouraged them to do so. We put Motorcraft parts on it all the way around. So we took the first rotor out of the box. Perfect. Absolutely perfect. Nice Motorcraft piece, sealed box. And it was great. Except it only had five lugs, which isn't bad if I had a five-lug vehicle. I have a six-lug vehicle. And, of course, I'm standing there for a minute, and I'm trying to, like, you know, it kind of hasn't dawned on me yet what's wrong with this picture. And I'm going, boy, I think this is the wrong rotor. I don't think it's big enough. Something's not right here. And I'm, you know, three times I'm changing the clock position. I go, wait a minute, dummy. You only got five lugs. Is that a six lug? You know. So, of course, your mind says, gee, I'll just drill a hole. No, I don't think so. Let's regroup. So I go over to the other box, you know, two for the front, and I take it out. Sure enough, it's a five lug rotor. So I'm saying, well, something's wrong here. So I'm not really quite sure how it happened, but we went back to our supply house and we ran the VIN, and you know, it turns out it was the right part number. I got the two misboxed five-lug rotors. At least I got them together. All right. You know, so at least there was no inconsistency. You know, when I look at the boxes, they looked like they were sealed. There, I didn't see anything that told me they were wrong. It's not like somebody had monkeyed with them. But you get this. This is what happens in auto repair. Danny was working on a 2011 Camry on Thursday. Had to do four-wheel brakes, front calipers. And the part number from Delco ended in, it was a 50 and a 51, one being the left side, one being the right side. So we put them on, took the car around the block, and the right front wheel smoking like a banshee. All right, the brand new caliper was just no good. It was garbage. It just had a problem. It, you know, and we see this is what happens, you know, even with name brand stuff. New means never ever worked. I don't care what it is. So we order another one. It shows up. I think it was a 51. Turns out that we had a left front and a right front box. Okay, well, you know, let's just put that over on the side, and we'll just, you know, we'll deal with that later. So we get another one, and we put it on and take the car around the block, and all seems well. The next morning, we're going to deliver the car, and one last lap around the block. You always want to drive things as much as you can because you're never quite sure, you know. It's you know, you have the greatest confidence in your ability. Parts today, yeah, not so much. So we take it around the block one last time, and the pedal just didn't feel right. The left front caliper had popped a leak at the caliper dust seal. Well, remember that caliper from the day before that we got that was for the right side, but it was really a left side caliper? We took that out of the box. There's nothing wrong with it. It was just boxed wrong. And we put that on the left front, bled it out, pumped the brake up, took it for a long road test. Sure enough, the car was fixed and done. And when Danny and I looked at each other like, what are the odds that you're going to have the problem the next day with the wrong part being in the other box and you can now go to the Solar Eclipse Week leading up to at the show, at the shop this week. Which, by the way, speaking of the solar eclipse, just real quick as a commentary, you know, they're telling everybody not to look at the solar eclipse and to have the glasses, you know, the right glasses so you don't hurt your eyes and all that. I had to pick up Tony at the train station today. We had to go to Secaucus, which if you know the area, it's probably 45 minutes from where we are, where Home Base Studios are. And we were driving through the city of Paterson, New Jersey, home of Lou Costello, right? And there's a sign up, hand-painted with spray paint on a piece of plywood, solar eclipse glasses with an arrow going this way, $2. Now, I want to know, I don't know, are we that stupid that, A, we're going to trust $2 solar eclipse glasses from somebody who spray-painted the sign when every news media agency in the world is screaming, hey, be careful not to look at the solar eclipse and be sure you got good glasses so you don't hurt your eyes? And we let these people drive cars, and that's part of the issue. You know, I heard it a couple of times this week about, I don't want to spend any money, I'm going to go buy a new car. Somebody threw away a car this week because it needed $1,200 worth of repairs, but instead they went out and spent $42,000 on a brand new car within 2 days. This was on Monday, and they were in the shop by Wednesday just to show us the new car, a $42,000 Lincoln, because they didn't want to spend $1,200 to repair a six-year-old car. Yes, Tom, you had a comment?
I just wanted to say, psst, hey, need a pair of eclipse glasses? I'll give them to you for $1.75.
Well, yeah, opportunists. But it's really the truth in terms of common sense. And you can almost see the rhythm of the country and the energy of the day by how people are when there's, I don't know, I won't say nocturnal events, but, you know, phenomena, eclipses, full moons, high tides, low tides, bad weather. It affects all of us. It affects us not just in our judgments and in the way we drive. Most people drive like they're nuts anyway. But, you know, when it comes to repairing cars, just strange things happen in repair shops that are just so hard to fathom and predict. You just can't. It's you got to be there. And that's just an example of what went on this week in the shop. I always think back to the ultimate full moon solar eclipse wacky occurrence in the repair shop. This has got to be 20, 25 years ago, and I've told this story from time to time, in that we were doing a cylinder head on a straight six-cylinder Chevy. And, you know, you looked at things, but 25 years ago, you didn't have the parts issues like you did today, but you were still looking, is everything right? And bolted the cylinder head on the car, and we had to put plugs in it, and, you know, took the, they had put these little plastic retainers into the spark plug holes, and we took the plastic retainers out to, and went to screw the plugs in, and the plug won't screw in, and I'm looking at, and plug won't screw in, and I'm thinking, gee, what am I missing here? Am I uncoordinated here? And, look at the thread of the plug, and it looks okay. Look at the thread of the spark plug of the hole in the head, and it's a straight hole. It's a straight shot. They never threaded the spark plug hole when they assembled the head. It was a brand new head out of GM 20, 25 years ago. Take the head back off. Had to put another head on. You know, thank God it was a Chevy straight six. It wasn't complicated like it was today, right? So about 4 months later, doing a tune up on a straight six Chevy. In order to set a spark plugs, opened up the box that they came in, and there was six spark plugs with no threads on them. I go, look, there's the spark plugs for the cylinder head that we did 4 months ago that we no longer have here. It was the most bizarre thing. I'll never forget that as long as I'm here on this planet fixing cars and not fixing cars. So, but in any event, coming up this hour, we're going to be giving away a Wix diecast car from the folks over at Wix. More information at wixfilters.com. Be nice to Motorhead Matt when you call in. And you can talk to him. We're going to be giving away. It is the traditional die-cast vehicle of a 39 Ford. I believe it's a 39 Ford, isn't it? It's the 39 Ford, isn't it? Hang on, let me look at my copy. Yes, sir. It's the only customized 1/18th scale 39 Ford coupe hot rod on the market. It's a replica of one of the most recognized American cars. By the way, great series on History Channel, if anybody wants to catch it, about the making of the American car companies. I never knew that the Dodge brothers started out working for Henry Ford. They were the original engineers. Walter P. Chrysler was the chief engineer for General Motors back in the early 1900s. And when the Dodge brothers passed from influenza, they were killed by the influenza epidemic in 1920, Walter P. Chrysler bought Dodge. I think the number at the time was $180 million in 1920. It was some ridiculous number, which is equivalent to a little over $1 billion today. I got to go back and look at the clip. It was phenomenal to see. But basically, Chrysler, Dodge, Ford, GM, they all worked for one another, and they all kind of jockeying for position, much like technology companies are today and autonomous cars and that whole thing. So never think anything's impossible. Look what became from some simple efforts so many years ago, just 100 years ago. But anyway, 855-560-9900, Ron and Annie and the Car Doctor to take your calls. We're coming back right after this. Hey, welcome back. Ron and Annie and the Car Doctor, 855-560-9900. By the way, next hour, we're going to be tuning in with Paul Eisenstein from the Detroit Bureau, thedetroitbureau.com. Paul's going to be stopping by to talk to us about leasing. We've had some leasing comments on the Facebook page. People want to know about high-mileage leasing and things like that, as well as some of the other trends. Paul Eisenstein is never at a loss for words, and it should be a great segment. So we're looking forward to that conversation. And one last thought and one last commentary, too, about Facebook. If you get out to the Ron and Andy and the Car Doctor Facebook page, if you're hanging out there, posted a video yesterday that talked about a problem battery on a 2014 Ford. What's interesting to note is, and it came to us courtesy of the guys over at Under the Hood, Russ Evans and that gang, and we salute them for their display of that because we think they did a really great job of it. But what's interesting is, as Russ points out, that corrosion on the battery terminals are the result of a leaky terminal post, which I agree with, all right? I don't think I've ever seen it where it's not, unless the case itself is physically leaking. Someone on Facebook said, well, we should just put a penny on it. The copper will help keep the corrosion down. That's not the point. You know, we're not here to Rube Goldberg, Mickey Mouse a car to keep it on the road, because there's going to be a safety factor. If we Mickey Mouse one part of the car, we're going to Mickey Mouse the other part of the car, and we're going to Mickey Mouse the next part of the car. And before you know it, we're holding the wheels on with spit and baling wire, and then we've got a serious safety issue, obviously. Hey, I might be driving next to you, and that scares me. All right? If you've got leaky battery terminals, all right, or corroded battery terminals, chances are you've got leaky posts. And if you've got leaky posts, it's time for a new battery. You can clean them, but they're only going to get worse in time. And there's nothing worse than being stuck with a dead battery when you least expect it. All right. And as is pointed out in the video, again, correct, PowerFrame grid technology, all right, is the better design of a battery, and it will help in preventing leaky posts and battery failure such as that. That's part of what PowerFrame grid technology does. It's the design of the internal grid of the battery to help the battery last longer and be stronger with less physical problems, as well as a longer-lasting battery. So just stop and consider that. No Mickey Mouse stuff. We don't want a Rube Goldberg batteries. Definitely, we don't want a Rube Goldberg anything on an automobile. So just be aware of that. If you want more information about it, get out to powerframe.com out on the web. Let's go over to my favorite long-distance listener. Well, one of my favorite long-distance listeners. Actually, they're all long-distance, so what difference does it make? But I'll make them feel good today. Walter from Hawaii. Walter, how the heck are you today?
I'm good, Ron. Have you got that new Lamborghini I dropped off at the shop yesterday?
No, I missed it. Can you send me another one?
No, I just want you to go ahead and let your insurance company know so they'll send me a new one.
Is that, well, they'd send it to me, wouldn't they, Walt? Because then I would have to accept the gift from you.
But it's mine.
Did you get?
I'm crazier than a loon, but I would like.
Did you get a signature on it? I want to see the signature.
Yeah, it says Ron Armanian, but no. It looks very similar to my writing.
Close. I can understand that. What's going on in Hawaii today, Walt? How's the weather?
Actually, it's raining, so it should make you feel a little bit better.
I think it's the first bad
weather report I've ever given you.
We have sunshine at 73 degrees here at corporate headquarters, and it's going to be a nice afternoon.
Move, but I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, things are going our way. So what did you break this week? What kind of car?
2003 Pontiac Grand Am 3.4 liter. It's my daughter's car. It was running rough and losing coolant. I took the oil cap off. It looks like mayonnaise when the oil cap. Pulled the dipstick. Dipstick looks milky. I did a compression test and a leak down test. Do you have those numbers there?
No.
In front of you?
No, go ahead.
Okay, I'll be brief then. On the compression test, everything was about 180 to 195, except for number 6, it was at 210. And then on the leak down test, everything was between 20 and 30% loss, except number 6, it was at 55. And percent loss. And then I did a direct pressure with the 60 PSI from the compressor, and I could hear a slight hiss at almost all the cylinders, but with a stethoscope on the dipstick tube. So I just figured that's probably just the rings are a little worn out. But and then when I drained the oil out of it, the first 3 quarts or so was pure water.
Oof. I'll tell you what, Walter, sit tight. When we come back, we'll talk about this a little bit more. I'm Ron Anini in the Car Doctor, 855-560-9900. Coming back right after this. Ron and Andy and the Car Doctor. Thanks for tuning in. We're here at 855-560-9900. By the way, podcasting. Podcasting is going to take a change. We're currently at cardoctorshow.com. We're podcasting there. We're going to be podcasting there for the immediate future. But we're going to be making some upgrades to podcasting coming out probably within the next 2 weeks. So we hope you like the changes. And we hope you like the way we make it easier for you. You'll still go to cardoctorshow.com to get it. But we're going to consolidate, make everything available from one source, and we'll leave it at that. Let's get back to Walter in Hawaii. Walter, you're still there. Where else would you go?
I wouldn't go anywhere.
There you go. And we're talking about your daughter's 3.4-liter Pontiac Grand Am. So the compression test doesn't bother me. I have one question regarding the cylinder leak down test. Obviously, you brought the motor around to top dead center for each pass,
yes,
correct?
Yes.
So
I used a balloon method and then a screwdriver.
Okay. Because I was going to ask, how did you know when you were at top? And, you know, at what point, you know, did it fight you? You know, I'd be curious to know. And I think there's a problem on 6, but I'd be curious. One of the ways I'll do it on a motor if I think I'm closer and I'm not really sure is I'll have a breaker bar on the front and, you know, I'll bring it around to where I think top is, put air on, and theoretically the air should push down on the piston. I should feel a tug, you know, if I'm close, unless I'm really right at top dead where it's not canted one way or the other. So we'll go on the assumption that you were at top and both valves were closed.
Yeah, I redid it several times just to make sure it was at top because I was concerned about that. And I'm, 97.6% sure that they were top dead center.
Because, first of all, a 20 to 30% leak on the other five cylinders is a problem. All right? A cylinder leak down test should leak no more than 10%, and on a good motor you'll see typically 4 to 6%. So 20%'s a lot. If it's coming out through the dipstick and you want to attribute it to rings, okay. You know, maybe we could have a conversation about varnished rings and freeing them up with some solvents or additives or some other chemical if we wanted to try that. But you've got a bigger problem in the cylinder number 6 that had a 55% loss. Now, when you leak number 6, is that 55% loss? Are you hearing that out the dipstick tube only? You should be feeling that. You should be feeling air pushing out the tube.
Yeah, the dipstick only, not from anywhere else.
Okay. I mean, if you take
and
off...
not from the adjacent cylinder either.
All right. Either. If you take off the... if you take off the oil fill cap, I'm sure you'll feel it or hear it there as well, correct?
Yes, that's true.
So, you know, what's going on in 6? That's a heck of a loss. All right? Do we have a stuck ring, etc.? But that still doesn't explain where coolant's coming from. When you said water in the oil pan, are you talking water or coolant? Was it clear water, slightly discolored from being in the engine, or is it coolant? Is it green or orange or whatever coolant this takes?
Well, she has been adding coolant, been adding water to it over a period of time, which I didn't know about, and it was coolant water mix, mostly water, though.
Okay. So I want to focus on that because I'm questioning whether or not you've really got a coolant loss as a result of your cylinder readings, or you've got a coolant loss as a result of a problem with the intake manifold gasket.
Okay, and which it seems to be common on these, according to what the research I did.
This is the 3-4. This is the one where the intake manifold, for lack of a better way to say it, about a third of the manifold is part of the head, so to speak. It's integral to the head, correct? This has the big flat aluminum pancake top, so to speak.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So I would lean more towards that, okay? Do you have an issue somewhere else regarding cylinder compression? Yeah, I would think so. And the one thing I would tell you to do is you're putting 60 pounds of air in?
Yes.
Do 150. Run straight shop air. Compression.
I can only get up to about 130 on my...
All right, do 130. Do 130.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, then at top dead center?
At top dead center. Both valves closed at top dead center and see what it does and pay attention to 6. You know, sometimes you don't have enough load on the piston that maybe you don't have things popped out, so to speak, where they should be, and it doesn't give a great reading. We try to do everything based on, 100 PSI or more. So
okay, I was a little afraid to go that high on it, but
do it all
I'll
the time.
Do that now.
Well, let me ask you this. If you're cranking compressions 150 PSI... and you put 150 PSI in it, what's the difference?
Yeah,
pressure's,
makes sense.
Pressure's pressure, right?
Yeah.
So now, that's not to say that, constant duress, you don't hurt something. But I've never seen it happen, Walter.
Okay.
As a practical modicum, the worst that's going to happen is it's gonna bring out whatever the weak spot is in this engine. And that's what you're trying to find to fix in the first place anyway.
Okay, and how will I be able to determine that from putting the 130?
Well, you're going to put 150 in, and same thing you're doing. Is it out the dipstick? Is it out the valve cover? Is it out the tailpipe? If you take the radiator cap off, do you see any air bubbles in the coolant?
Okay.
All right.
And none of that was the case except the dipstick at 60 PSI.
Right. So you know what? Try it in stages. Bring it up to 100. Does it make a difference? Bring it up to 120. Does it make a difference? If the results are still the same, that tells me you've got a ring problem on that cylinder, provided you're at top dead center. All right?
Okay.
That's number one thought. Number two thought...
That probably won't be fixed for her, because she's trying to get the car to last her another year so she can finish school.
Well, everybody's trying to get their car last another year until the next year. Then it's another year. It's, my shop is filled with the one-year car.
Garage is.
We've got a lot of these one-year cars that, 10, 12 years we're working on that 1 year. It's just the way it goes. The other thing
I brought up a cliche.
hey, Walter, have you tried pressurizing the cooling system?
No.
Okay, so if you've got a cooling system pressure tester and you can get an adapter on this bottle, pressurize the cooling system. Bring it up to 15 PSI. Let it sit overnight. Will it hold pressure? And if you've got all six plugs out in the morning before you crank it over, if you've got a bore scope or a way to look in the cylinder, bring the piston up around slow. Is there any coolant on top of a piston in any one particular cylinder?
And that would indicate a head gasket.
Head gasket or a crack in the head or a failure of the block. All right, on a real rare case, it can also indicate. I've only seen it once, where one of the intake manifold gaskets failed and the coolant migrated across the face and got into the intake port and down into the cylinder. Doesn't happen a lot, but I have seen it. All right. So
my next step is to run through the 100 to 130 pound direct pressure.
Let's see what you can break.
And isolate whatever I can find leaking.
Right. Does it change? If it doesn't change, let's move on to the next thing, because I don't see any practical way, or I can't come up with a physical explanation of how coolant is coming into an engine or going through an engine, ending up in the oil pan if, it's only leaking past the rings. If it's a head gasket issue, if we're seeing air bubbles in the cooling system, if we're seeing, noise out a tailpipe, but now we're reaching. We're really reaching.
And neither of those are the case.
Right.
Okay, one last thing real quick, Ron.
Go ahead, yeah.
You got time?
Yeah, go ahead. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you what, Walter, wait a minute. Let me pull over and take the pause. I'm on the... Yeah, give me 3 minutes, Walter. I'll be right back to you. 855-560-9900. Ron and Nene, the Car Doctor. Don't go away.
Hang on. Help is on its way. I'll be there as fast as I can.
Hi, welcome back to the Walt from Hawaii show. I'm Ron and Nene and co-host today. Walt, how are you? I didn't want to let go with just one segment. We thought we'd keep you around for the whole 2 hours. You're still there, sir?
I am here.
Okay. You're my new co-host, Walter. What do you think?
Well, it sounds good to me. I'm retired, so I got the time.
You got the time. What the heck? all right, I'll be out. Listen, you send me the plane ticket from corporate funds, and I'll be out to discuss the issue with you. I'll be bringing the whole crew with me. What's your last question?
Will you bring my Lamborghini?
I'll bring your Lamborghini. Absolutely.
Okay, good. We have a deal then.
Okay, I'll bring the Lamborghini. What's your last question?
My deal's about $700-$800. Yours is. No, $500,000.
I didn't say it was a real one. You just said I'll bring you a Lamborghini.
Okay.
I got a hobby shop around the corner from us here. We can just 1/18th scale. You'll be fine.
Yeah, I have a Cobra like that also.
Last question.
Quickly, where we stand right now is it's with the information we have. It is most likely the intake manifold.
Yes.
With just the information we have at the moment.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, now. I changed the oil, and put new oil and new filter in it and, cleaned the PVC valve and all that sort of stuff and started it up. And it ran ran good for 10, 15 minutes. And then it started idling really bad and it shut off. I restarted it and now it's got a banging, not like a rod knock, but it's like something's hitting something. And it doesn't increase with the RPM. It's more like a thunk, like when your wash machine is out of balance.
Is the is the crankcase showing it's overflow with coolant or water or oil again?
No, this is after I've changed it.
Have you looked at it since the loud noise started?
Yes, it has more water in it.
It has more water in it. So whatever you've got going on might have hydrostatic locked the cylinder and did engine damage.
Yeah.
Not the bearer of such good news. So
thank you.
I'm sorry. That's okay. You can give her the Lamborghini and let her drive that when we bring it out. Listen, Walt, I got to go. As always, sir, it's a great pleasure. We always enjoy talking to you. You've got a couple of steps to go through there, and maybe it's time to, loud knocking noises like that. It doesn't take much to bend a connecting rod. I'm thinking maybe you do have that rare occurrence of an intake manifold leak. down into a cylinder, creating an issue. So good luck to you and yours, Walter, and let me know what goes on. I'm sure you will. Let's get out to Bob, Phillipsburg, New Jersey, returned from last week. Mr. Bob, what'd you decide?
Hey, Rob.
What kind of suspension decide to put on the Audi? Yes, sir.
We've been doing this for almost 20 years.
Yeah, you're making me feel older, Robert.
Anyway, update on the Audi, the 2008 A3 3.2 VR6 Quattro.
Right.
You mentioned we were talking about suspension stuff, and I took it one step further and went to Audi, and I had to order the parts by VIN number because in 2008 there was a mid-year change.
Right.
And I went for springs, shocks, and struts, and all the stuff that goes with it. So I'm sure we'll be in pretty good shape.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
And the thing is the research you got to do for parts. And if you deal with the qualified people, you'll get the correct stuff.
Right. Well, and that's, Bob, it's amazing. It's just, it's not that easy to just pick up the phone and deal with anybody today. There's a lot of malcontents and misfits out there that do things. Here, I'll tell you a story real quick where one of the local parts houses purchased a bunch of AC Delco batteries. I'm not exactly sure where they came from. I won't say it was black market, but I don't think it was the legit straight stuff because they're kind of like last year's part numbers.
Yeah.
And, you can tell by looking at them that they're not real fresh units. And it my point becomes that everybody sees, they'll see AC Delco and go, okay, that's a great battery, so on and so forth. I'll take it at a great price. But it's not. They're buying right. leftover stock. They're buying leftover inventory because the parts house is sort of unscrupulous. It's very hard to find honesty in the world today in all places. And auto repair is still suffering from that, just like we see issues around us. Auto repair is no different. So,
yeah.
Hey, Robert, tell you what, hang on one second. I know you had a second part to your question. Let me pull over and take this pause, and we'll be right back to you. Ron and Annie and the Car Doctor coming back right after this. Welcome back. Ron and Annie and the Car Doctor, 855-560-9900. Let's get right to it. Let's go back to Bob, Phillipsburg, New Jersey. Robert, I got about 2 minutes, sir. Yet another question.
Pico, do you use Pico for a lap scope in your shop?
No, I do not. I use Bernie Thompson's ATS. And I use my little Snap-on Modus, and I still use my OTC Perception. I have looked at the Pico. I didn't see the need for it, and I actually started with Bernie's tools a long time ago, and I like what he does because my scan tool and my scope, or one of my scan tools and one of my scopes come together, and they work very nicely. So why do you ask?
Well, I would like to get a lab scope, but a standalone lab scope, and I thought maybe Pico would be the way to go.
Pico's a great scope. It's not for beginners. It's, probably one of the more advanced. It's a great scope. Absolutely a great scope. Do you have any scope time, Bob? I don't think we've ever had this conversation.
Yeah, I've had some.
Okay. If you've had some, let me put it to you this way. You can never have enough scopes. All right. It's sort of like having, screwdrivers and wrenches. You can never have enough lab scopes. I've got three or four, I forget. My perception's the simplest. It's down into actually five. I got the little one in the drawer. I have a little U-scope. If you want to buy a little scope just to play around with it, to try something, go out to aeswave.com.
Okay.
aeswave.com. Take a look at the little U-scope. It's a pocket scope. It's probably like 2 inches by 2 inches. It's got it's got a nice color screen. It's a little bit to get used to, but it's accurate. It's a good little scope, all right?
Yeah.
If you want something, you can carry it in the car. It's not big. It's not bulky. It's cheap, all right? It's a decent little scope. I think you'd probably be happier starting with that. Or if you can go out on eBay, find yourself an OTC Perception if they're still making them, if somebody has them, because, I'm still using my Perception 15, almost 18 years later. It's still my favorite scope. It's so quick and easy, down and dirty. Pico's a good scope. I know guys that have them. They're married to it. It's 8 to 9 months of intensive training, doing all the time. I mean, that's their job. It's full time. And that's okay. For a weekend warrior, Robert, and I hope I'm not offending you, but for a weekend warrior, I think it's more than you're going to bite off more than you need. I really do. All right, sir?
All right. Okay,
Just food for thought. Send me some pictures of the Audi. I want to see how the suspension looks when you get it done up in the air. I'm kind of curious to see what this all looks like. And best wishes and good health, Bob. Always good to talk to you. Always remember, when it comes to buying tools, you don't want to buy too much and you don't want to buy too little. And sometimes you got to have more than one. You know, it's just part of the process. I've got four. See, I forgot I have five lab scopes. Always looking for the sixth. Where will it come from? Hey, looking up at the clock, I can see it's time to go. 855-560-990 is the phone number. See you next time. Good mechanics aren't expensive. They're priceless. Everyone.